This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, December 21st, 2021. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, today is National Homelessness Memorial Day, and people will gather at the Central Park Bandshell in Boulder to share stories of unhoused people who have died this year. Dwindling water levels in the Colorado River will affect access to water in the coming year. That story and more in H2O Radio's This Week in Water. And we'll play our weekly comment line. Comments from listeners who share their thoughts about what they hear on KGNU. At the bottom of the hour, we'll go to the BBC News headlines. Then it's How on Earth. Today, the science show shares new information about corona. A corona that's not the virus, that is. They delve into a greener way to recycle an important high-tech element. And we hear about Beth Bennett's new book, Defy Aging, a beginner's guide to the new science of longer life and better health. At 9 a.m., it's The Wit and Wisdom of Alan Watts, the British philosopher, writer, and speaker known for interpreting Eastern religious ideas for a Western audience. Then at 9:30, Terry Reardon will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. But first, it's time for local and regional headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
The Omicron variant is now the dominant coronavirus variant in the United States, according to federal data released yesterday. The variant accounted for 73% of new infections last week, making a six-fold increase in its share of infections in only 1 week. Meanwhile, state health officials confirmed 2 cases of Omicron infections for the first time in Denver Monday. Both individuals are vaccinated, one of them with a booster. Hospital capacity remains tight, with about 94% of acute care beds in use. State Health Department data shows 84% of those hospitalized currently are unvaccinated. The Denver Post reports hospitals are dealing with more non-COVID patients than they had during last fall's COVID-19 surge. Staffing shortages are also limiting hospital bed capacity. The Denver Post also reports COVID-19 outbreaks have caused a wave of event cancellations for indoor public events in Colorado. The Denver Center for the Performing Arts will make an announcement today about future performances of The Lion King as the company experienced breakthrough COVID-19 cases over the weekend. Negative PCR testing allowed the company to proceed with yesterday's matinee performance, but officials canceled the pair of performances scheduled for today. Coronavirus infections are also impacting sporting events as the NBA canceled a Denver Nuggets game on Sunday as the visiting Brooklyn Nets reported breakthrough infections. The Colorado Avalanche postponed 4 games last week as 5 players were in COVID-19 protocol. Prior to an uptick of cancellations and postponements over the weekend, event promoters canceled performances earlier in the month at area venues such as the Newman Center, Bluebird Theater, and Mission Ballroom. Governor Polis appoints Ken Matera as the CU regent for the 5th District. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
Governor Jared Polis named Matera to represent the 5th Congressional District, which includes Colorado Springs. He will replace Chance Hill, who resigned his seat last month for career opportunities outside the state. The Denver Gazette reports that Hill was in the middle of a 6-year term that would have expired in 2025. Matera will serve the unpaid post until the November 8, 2022 election. The winner of that race will serve out the remaining 2 years of the term. Polis said he selected Matera, who had been endorsed by the Republican Party's 5th Congressional District Assembly, because he felt Matera would cut cost and waste and would work to make higher education affordable. Matera is an alumnus of the University of Colorado Boulder. He received a bachelor's degree in marketing from the Leeds School of Business. Matera, 64, said he plans to seek election to the seat next November. He said one of his first priorities would be to help make attending one of the Colorado University schools more affordable, noting that the cost now has become too high for many in the state to afford. Matera retired in 2015 after a long career in executive roles in marketing. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The Longmont City Council unanimously approved last evening the purchase of the 130-acre Adam Farm property. The purchase will extend the city's open space and trail network and will include 6 shares from the Oligarchy Ditch Company. The property, located southeast of Union Reservoir and west of the St. Vrain State Park, will cost the city $5.5 million, with Boulder County potentially reducing the city's cost by acquiring a conservation easement over the property for $2 million. Longmont began negotiations with the Adam family for the property in 2019. Along with open space and watershed corridor protection, the city plans on developing a trail system between Union Reservoir, St. Vrain State Park, and the St. Vrain Greenway. The Denver City Council approved a speed reduction to the city's neighborhood streets on Monday evening. The ordinance, which will go into effect as soon as Mayor Michael Hancock signs it, will reduce the default speed limit of the city's neighborhood streets to 20 miles per hour from 25 miles per hour. The City Council vote comes in response to a rise in traffic deaths this year and council members urging a cultural shift to slow down. City leaders began the 20 is Plenty campaign more than a year ago by amending the city's budget to include a $350,000 feasibility study to examine speed limit reductions for all types of city streets. The change comes with a possible $1.5 million price tag, as the city will need to change thousands of signs across the city, with the work taking 3 to 5 years to complete. Officials with the FBI Denver Division are warning Colorado and Wyoming residents about a phone scam in which imposters pose as law enforcement officials asking for payments for outstanding warrants or fines. According to the FBI, the scammers use spoof law enforcement phone numbers, names of actual officers, and mostly target women with lucrative careers and an online presence. Today's weather along the upper Metrofront range includes mostly cloudy skies, then gradually becoming sunny with highs reaching near 60. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows in the 30s for Denver and Boulder and 28 for Fort Collins. The National Weather Service reports critical fire weather conditions over the Front Range foothills and locations near the Wyoming border with low humidity and windy conditions. There is a red flag warning in effect today from noon to 5 p.m. this afternoon for the Cheyenne Ridge foothills and portions of the Palmer Divide. The temperature for Denver is 44 degrees, 43 for Boulder, and 51 for Fort Collins. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Today is National Homelessness Memorial Day, which means communities around the nation will gather to share stories of unhoused people who have died this year. Jennifer Livovich is the executive director of Feet Forward, a Boulder nonprofit dedicated to homeless outreach. She's helping to coordinate a memorial today at the Boulder Bandshell. KGNU's Alexis Kenyon spoke with her about the event.
So to start, Jennifer, could you tell me a little bit about your backstory? How did you come to create Feet Forward?
So I was homeless in this community for 4.5 years and received some housing assistance from the state. So I was really struggling with this sense of loyalty because the in-house community, you know, they're a community of it of their own, right? They live in this place with a lot of unwelcoming spaces. And there were many nights I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I remember sleeping in a dog pile, for example, with like 4 or 5 people in 1 or 2 blankets and just doing that to sustain body heat and wishing for the best. And so I had to struggle with that almost sort of survivor's guilt because I'm in this apartment now where I could essentially bring 40 people comfortably to sleep on my floor while it's freezing out. I struggled with that. And so my response was, if I do that, I'm quite likely not going to keep my house. And so what can I do to give back to this community? And so I started to collect socks. I started to collect socks under an initiative called Save a Toe. And I started to do very intentional types of outreach. So this is our first fiscal year. And a lot has happened. But I mean, while I was out passing out socks in 2018, and I kept looking around. 2018, 2019. I kept looking around saying, where is everybody? Where are all these outreach people? And you know what? No one was coming. Like, literally no one was coming. But I thought, you know what? I'll do it. And so I've been doing it ever since.
So deaths of people who are unhoused have gone up in the last couple of years, especially in Boulder, but also in Denver. Do you have any idea why we're seeing a spike in these numbers?
Well, yeah. So if you look at our historically, okay, in the recent past, we lost significant spaces for people to sleep inside in inclement weather here. So that's definitely one contributing factor. The other contributing factor is if you are unhoused in this community and you are trying to access emergency care for true emergencies, but I can share with you my experience when I had frostbite. So, you know, I was a big drinker when I was homeless. And so I had been halted the detox. And so I got inside. I had zero idea I had frostbite. Just thought I was cold. But I learned that I had frostbite. And so the detox staff were like, you need to go to the emergency room. And I'm like, yeah. So I went. And they knew who I was because, number one, I was an alcoholic. So I had a history there, but I was also had a history of being homeless. And so I get in there and they look at my foot and they tell me that I need to keep my foot elevated. And then they released me without medication, without any follow-up treatment, and sent me back to the detox. I stayed in the detox for about 10 days and kept my foot elevated. And it was only me going to Fort Lyon and being able to connect with specialists in Pueblo that saved my foot. So if I look at anyone who's homeless and they really need medical care, I can't imagine what that experience would look like.
Can you tell me about National Homelessness Memorial Day? Is there someone in particular you'll be remembering?
Yes, my friends. So for example, I lost Stephen McMillian. And his name on the street was Mobley. And so when I think of him, I think about seeing him the first time I met him almost a decade ago and him whizzing around on a skateboard. And then I think about him with his best friend, his dog Buddy, and how he was always very caring and always concerned about everyone. And how the last message I have with him through Facebook Messenger is him asking me if I need any other information required for housing.
Jennifer Livovich is executive director at Feet Forward, a homeless outreach nonprofit in Boulder. She and other community partners will gather today at 4 p.m. at Boulder's Bandshell to honor the members of Boulder's unhoused community who died this year. Jennifer, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Absolutely.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
Time now for This Week in Water with H2O Radio's Jamie Sudler and Franny Halperin.
How a kite might cut carbon emissions. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The Colorado River is the lifeblood of the Southwest, supplying water for tens of millions of people in the U.S. and to Mexico. But as the region warms and flows decline, there's urgency in allocating the river's shrinking supply.
Just a few months ago, Lake Mead, located on the Colorado River and the largest reservoir in the U.S., fell to a level that will trigger mandatory cuts in Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico next year.
Last week, during a conference of the Colorado River Water Users Association, officials from the lower basin states of California, Nevada, and Arizona, along with tribal communities, signed an agreement to reduce their intake from the lake as the region becomes drier.
Under the so-called 500-plus agreement, in the next 2 years, the three states and the tribes will leave 500,000 acre-feet of water in Lake Mead, with cuts mainly to farmers who will be compensated.
The agreement comes as a new report claims that Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico in the upper basin are likely using more Colorado River water than legally allowed.
The nonprofit Utah Rivers Council says those three states are not adequately addressing needed reductions, and that taxpayers should not be fooled by leaders proposing new water diversions, such as the Lake Powell pipeline, that would send water from the Colorado River to southwestern Utah.
The greatest threat to raise global sea levels this century is the melting of a glacier in Antarctica.
Scientists have found that the ice shelf holding back the Thwaites Glacier has cracks on both its top and bottom as it melts from warming waters. At the current rate of change, the researchers say this critical shelf will begin to break apart within the next 2 decades and could happen sooner, leaving the glacier exposed.
The collapse of the glacier, which is roughly the size of Florida, would put millions of people living in coastal cities in danger of extreme flooding.
According to Aaron Pettit, a researcher who spoke to NPR, planners should be thinking about impacts to coastal communities, as even a centimeter of sea level rise gets amplified along shorelines, making high tides higher, storm surges bigger, and erosion greater.
The collapse of the Thwaites would also destabilize other Antarctic glaciers, which could drag more ice into the ocean and raise sea levels even higher.
Nearly 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccines offer the best protection against contracting the disease. But for some people, such as those with compromised immune systems, treatments using monoclonal antibodies are a way to prevent hospitalization.
Now, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have found that antibodies from sharks were able to block the COVID-19 virus from causing infection.
The effectiveness of shark antibodies looks to be because of their size, which are 1/10 of those found in people. That allows them to pack tightly together in nooks and crannies of a virus spike protein to prevent it from attaching to human cells.
In the lab, antibodies from nurse sharks were also able to completely neutralize a coronavirus currently found only in bats, but capable of infecting people. The researchers say that developing therapies with shark antibodies now could be a kind of insurance against future outbreaks circulating in animals.
The shark antibody therapies will need to be tested in people and are probably years off from being available. Meanwhile, the team is also studying them for use in the treatment and diagnoses of various cancers. And finally, the shipping industry is criticized for its massive environmental impact, from running on dirty bunker fuels that contribute to greenhouse gas emissions to being overladen with containers that sometimes fall in the sea. While it seems cargo ships just can't catch a break, they might be about to catch the wind.
The latest effort to decarbonize the industry involves installing kites on ships to move them along. The Norwegian company Airseas will start testing voyages next month using its so-called Sea Wing technology, a kite over 5,000 square feet wide, sent over 600 feet in the air to pull a ship across the Atlantic.
Now, if you're thinking, isn't this just sailing, and have we come full circle back to the days of tall ships? No, the company says. The vessels will still have engines, but the kites, which are based on parafoil technology, will reduce fuel consumption, and the ships will spew less carbon into the atmosphere.
Computer technology will move kites around to maximize capture of wind energy, and the Sea Wing will launch at the touch of a button. If all goes well, the company says a larger Sea Wing could cut fuel costs by 20% and reduce carbon emissions by over 5,000 tons, depending on the route.
Given that some analysts predict cargo volumes could grow by as much as 130% by 2050, those packages might ride like the wind.
That's it for this week in water. Listeners put the wind in our sails through their support. Join them at h2oradio.org, and thank you.
We now check in with KGNU's comment line and the listeners who share their thoughts on what they hear on KGNU.
As I awoke this morning to the sound of KGNU, as I've done for more than 20 years, I was struck by the number of fear-based COVID stories which dominate the morning magazine. This is the kind of information which is all over the mainstream media. KGNU's mission statement includes, quote, to provide a channel for individuals, groups, issues, and music that have been overlooked, suppressed, or underrepresented by other media, unquote. When it comes to COVID, KGNU has been sadly lacking in presenting the alternative scientific evidence. Where was KGNU at the standing room only event at Unity Church Sunday night, where Del Bigtree presented one scientific study after another, which went against the Fauci narrative? Incidentally, Del was born and raised right here in Boulder, Colorado. Where is any mention of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new book, which has been the number one best-selling book on Amazon for weeks and is on the New York Times best-selling list? Where is constructive information about prevention and treatment of COVID? In this Christmas season, can we please tone down the fear and turn up the information? That's the end of my comments. Bob Hopper, thank you.
Good morning. This is Evan Ravitz. On Friday, The Morning Magazine had a segment about pollution making people with respiratory problems sicker. It mentioned that Governor Polis has promised 100% renewables by 2040. It doesn't mention his actions, like letting his hand-picked Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission approve over 4,300 new oil and gas wells just during his governorship. This is according to 350.org Colorado. This should result in hundreds more asthma attacks, nosebleeds, lung and heart diseases, and eventually cancer cases for each well, not to mention sealing our climate fate. Just in 2020, about one-eighth of Rocky Mountain National Park burned, and the Grizzly Creek fire set the stage for the continuing disaster of having to close I-70 through Glenwood Canyon every time it rains hard. Please, KGNU, don't just tell us what politicians say. Tell us what they actually do. This is Evan Ravitz.
The Sideline media briefing that aired on KGNU, a public affair, on December 15th was very informative regarding the devastating stresses of the COVID pandemic on U.S. healthcare providers and our healthcare system. Not mentioned is the impact over the past 40 years of Wall Street private equity and investment groups milking huge profits by buying up more and more areas of healthcare. Initially controlling contract management groups that staff emergency departments, private equity groups have subsequently invested in virtually every area of healthcare, including doctors' practices, hospitals, nursing homes, hospices, and departments of anesthesia, radiology, and dermatology. U.S. healthcare was crippled before the pandemic by the routine practice by private equity of cutting staff, as well as the pay and benefits of nurses and doctors and other healthcare workers, in order to inflate profits. Wall Street profiteering has wrought seismic shifts, bringing healthcare to a tipping point. It is imperative to save and improve traditional Medicare and to restore healthcare by eliminating Wall Street profiteering. The corporate promotion of privatized profit and socialized risk severely compromises our democracy and our healthcare system. This is Michelle Swenson.
Well, yes, hello. This is Kelvin, a K-man, the good, bad, and ugly guy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. There was Jesus Christ style and righteousness. And thank you for allowing me to be the time that you allow me to speak and to broadcast the things that I've spoken. And thank you so very much, and long live in righteousness. All right. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Come on now. Feliz Navidad.
If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave a message at our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25. Comments longer than 90 seconds may be edited for brevity in order to give everyone who leaves a message a chance to speak. As with concert ticket giveaways, if you or a member of your household have left a comment that has aired in the last 30 days, consider giving someone else a chance to have their say. And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thanks to Stacey Johnson, Steve Miller, Alexis Kenyon, Jamie Sudler, and Franny Halperin for their contributions to today's program. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Stay tuned for How on Earth. That's coming up just after these news headlines from the BBC.